Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Have you ever gotten stuck before? I actually don't mean metaphorically speaking. I mean actually physically stuck in one place. One time that really comes to my mind is when it happened to my father when I was about, 10 years old. And Dad, because I know you'll be listening to this, I'm sorry for embarrassing you, but it has to be done. Sorry. We have a place in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan that overlooks a lake, and we have a dock that goes out toward it, and you have to put your dock away before the winter hits, or else it'll be collapse on itself because the ice will literally break it apart. So, usually, at least that's what we do now, is my father and I would, by hand, pull the dock out of the water, not using any vehicle to do this. You might be asking yourself, why would you make such hard work for yourself? It'd be easy if you had a truck. Well, that's where the story comes in. You see, one year, it was getting a little bit later in the year, and we wanted to get it done fast. So my father decided he had his brand new F-150 truck. Brand new leased from the Ford Motor Company, his model for the next couple of months. He wanted to pull that dock out of the water. My mom thought it wasn't the best idea. You see, it was kind of a wet season up there. And for any of you who have gone camping right by the lake shore, you all know what that ground is like right by there. It isn't the most stable, and definitely it is not the most well-used to tires. But my father said, no, I'm going to back it in there, hitch it on my truck, and we're going to pull it out. She said, okay. So everything seems to be fine first. My father puts the truck down into the water. He hooks everything up on the hitch. He pulls it up, and it doesn't move. It goes a little bit faster and hits that accelerator harder. And we all see as the truck that is halfway out of the water and halfway now in the water sink. It was stuck. It made a hole pretty much, if you could visualize it, about that deep from about this from the pulpit down. It was a deep hole that it was stuck in. And my mom just gave him the nastiest of looks and said, I told you so. And he just like, yeah. We eventually got it out after much digging. And also a couple of our neighbors were very helpful in helping us get it out. But for now on, we never let him live down that story. Because literally, he got stuck. Because he wouldn't listen. Because he thought he knew better. And once again, Dad, sorry. But today we're talking about the people of Israel in Exodus. And we've been going through now this entire Lenten season journeying with Israel and with Moses, seeing how he was rescued from the river, how he had his call from God on Mount Sinai, about how he led his people across the Red Sea over dry land, about how he saved, how God saved his people in the desert with water, how he gave him their commandments. And today, we find a different story, one that is both familiar and troubling. It is the golden calf episode. The context, of course, is important. The golden calf episode is in Exodus 32, and it's sandwiched actually right between God's instruction to Moses about the tabernacle, about how Israel is supposed to worship God. And it right coming after that is the tabernacle's construction, the place where they will worship God. So already, it's not looking too good. And then it gets worse, because there's the crisis. When the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come back down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron. Come on, they said, make us some gods who can lead us. We don't know what happened to this Moses fella who brought us out of here from the land of Egypt. See, Moses had been on the top of Mount Sinai for about 40 days and 40 nights. People were starting to get a little bit impatient. How long? Most of them probably even thought he was dead. Because the great, remember, God is on that mountain too, and it was quaking with lightning and fire. It looked pretty scary. And the people are wondering, how long are we supposed to wait? You know what that feeling is? When you want something right now, when you've been waiting for something and waiting for something, and it just seems like that payoff is never going to happen. I remember when I was going through school, when I was going through college, waiting, how long is it going to be till I need to get there? We see how long it takes to save money. How long will it take us to get to retirement? How long it will take us to, well, work on anything around the house. How long? The people of Israel are done asking how long, and they want an answer right now. They want something immediate. And so Aaron, the brother of Moses, gives them an offer. Take the gold rings from the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them to me. And all the people took the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. Then Aaron took the gold, melted it down, and molded it into the shape of a calf. And there it is. Aaron offers them a solution right then and right now, an immediate solution, one that looks to them good on paper. If they're so tired of waiting around for Moses, so tired of waiting around for God, well then just make yourself a god. Here, just bring me all of this jewelry that you have and bring me everything of that and I'll melt it down and I'll make you something. They want something that can satisfy them right now. And with that, well, they've already sunk deep into that hole. But it's not going to get better anytime soon. Because then there's the claim. Aaron saw how excited the people were. So he built an altar in front of the calf. Then he announced, "Tomorrow will be the festival to the Lord." Really? The Lord? What is Aaron even talking about here? Is he talking about God? This is a festival to God? No, it's not. It's a festival to the God they made. The tragedy is being more set. The Israelites are hitting that accelerator. They're going all in with this, and the hole is getting deeper and deeper. The people celebrated with feasting and drinking and indulged in pagan revelry, or they rose up to play. The verses that we heard after the gospel reading don't leave any guessing as to what this was. Sexual immorality. A breaking of the promise of one of the commandments. And a breaking of what God meant for relationships. It's a huge hole. One that seems so big. It could have been any sin, though. There are multitudes of sins that are on stake here for the people of Israel as they keep digging themselves in a hole. They keep pushing themselves down in there. There's idolatry. There's not loving the Lord, their God, not trusting Him. Sexual morality. And a multitude of other sins. And this is so heartbreaking to hear. Because this is not what God had planned. God brought His people out of Egypt because He loved them. He gave them these commandments, these ways that they would follow Him so that they could be His people, so they would be different than the rest of the world around them, that they would be His. God loved them so much that He wanted them to live in a way that would be good so that the entire world could see them and praise God. But no, they're stuck in that sin. They're stuck in their sinful ways. And instead of looking like God's people, they start looking like the world's people, doing what everyone else around them were doing. Maybe you can relate. Maybe not to the specific sins of what the Israelites did. I don't think anyone here has built a golden calf out of their jewelry anytime soon. But to look like the rest of the world, we know how that is. When we look at what the world is going on in the world, what's going on in our culture right now, it's so easy just to be like them. To say, okay, church stuff is good, and we're all here gathered around God's word one day of the week, but you know, when we go out into the rest of the world, we have to be like them. We have to worry more about making ends meet in our jobs and trying our best and make the money, and suddenly that becomes more important than God and following His rules. Maybe it's about not a money or a job, but time. Where we're so worried about having enough time, we're so worried about focusing on how much time that we have, how much we can give up, how much we can take for a loved one, how much we can take for God, and rationing it out in places where it becomes we're focused more on that than the promises of God, to be still and know that He is God. It's so easy to find ourselves in that hole of sin that is just destructive. Because the hole that sin creates is deep. It's deeper than anything. And that hole leads to a hole 6 feet under. For that is what sin leads to death. And that's the punishment for our sinful ways. God even recognized that. He was so angry with the people of Israel that He was willing to start over with them. He didn't even call them His people anymore. He called Moses to Him, "Tell your people." Heart-wrenching words. How can Israel dig themselves out of this hole? Well, they can't. But this is where it's so wonderful the gospel comes in. Moses calls out to His people. He calls out to God to spare His people, because he calls God to remember the great promises that He has done. Remember the promise of Abraham to Isaac and Israel, the promise that you would multiply them so that they would number the stars. Remember your promise, Lord, that you are a loving God. Moses stood before God's wrath, and he stood before His people's sin, and he advocated for them. And in this moment, in this, we see perfectly Christ. Because that's exactly what Christ does for us. The wages of sin is death. God looks at the entire world, and He saw that His people were no longer His people. But there is Jesus, right there. And He says, "Lord, remember your people. You are a loving God who's given them these great commandments. For the commandments and what you have done all stem from love. You love your people. You sent me to die for them." In the moment of God's anger, in the moment of the wrath that should be ours, there is Jesus standing there at His cross. There, taking the brunt of God's anger, taking the brunt of God's wrath upon Himself. And God looks at no longer us. He instead does exactly what He did for the people of Israel. the Lord changed his mind about the terrible disaster. He threatened to bring his people. He gives his people life. He gives his people knowledge that there is life in him. You see, the hole is too big and too deep for us to ever come out of, even if we had all the shovels and everyone else gathered around to help us. No amount of time could do it. So God came in and he pulled us out. He wrenched us out of that hole, sometimes kicking and screaming, sometimes maybe not wanting to, us wanting to stay in that hole a little bit longer, but God said no. He loved us too much. He came and he brought us out of that hole of sin and death and despair and brought us into new life in Christ. And so that when he looks upon us, he sees his people. We all know what it means to be stuck in a hole. We all know what it means to take wrong turns in our lives. We all have made idols of certain things in this world. But you know what? God knows too. And he doesn't care about how deep our hole is or how bitter and deep is our sin. We are not stuck in that hole forever. Christ came for us and rescued us. Christ gave to us his new covenant of his blood that we would be forgiven of our sins. That is your covenant. The new covenant. As Moses reminded God of the covenant, so you too are reminded of the covenant that you share. And you can even say, God, I am your child. You have promised me great forgiveness of my sins. Forgive me of my sins when I do wrong. Let me hold fast to that promise that you have given me life, that you have rescued me from the hole of sin and death. Lord, you have promised me this, and I know just as you forgave the people of Israel, you forgive me. Hold on to that promise because it is yours. And know that there is no hole that will be ever big enough or deep enough or dark enough that would ever separate you from God's loving covenant to you. Amen.